Hello, fellow lovers of all things green. I'm Mary Stone, and welcome to Garden Dilemmas, Delights, and Discoveries. It's not only about gardens, it's about nature's inspirations, about grasping the glories of the world around us, gathering what we learn from Mother Nature, and carrying these lessons into our garden of life. So let's jump in the spirit of learning from each other. We have lots to talk about. Hello there. Welcome to the screened porch, a day of clouds and spritzes that feel like kisses from heaven when they tickle your face. I love that feeling. And we are on the cusp of April. April showers bring May flowers, but we sure had plenty of rain in March. Thanks to those that reached back after last week's chat about early spring transplants featuring the farm down the road and the happier farm a street away. Upon submitting my article to be published in the press, the editor, Melissa, wrote to me, "Looks great, thank you. Extra happy Melissa over happy cows. Have a wonderful Easter." And I wrote her back, "Hi, Melissa. I wish the sad farm would take as good care of their cows. I just snagged this photo on my way home from work." I sent her a picture of a newborn calf maneuvering through the mud. Not to say we should include it in the press. It breaks my heart. Melissa wrote back, "I love cows. We try hard to buy meats and eggs from locally sourced happy farms." Me too, Melissa. And that is how we can make a difference, by supporting happy farms. Have a happy Easter. But hopefully the farmer will fix the drainage problem and expand the grazing fields, as we talked about last week. I look forward to sharing a sequel to the early spring transplants with a story about root pruning that relates to our lives. But before that, may I share a personal journey? A week ago, I rose before sunrise to make my way to the Sussex County Technical School in Lafayette, New Jersey, year three of volunteering to help staff the Comfort Zone Camp table at the Game of Life. Comfort Zone Camp is a bereavement camp for kids and young adults that have lost a family member, such as a parent or guardian or sibling. I've been a volunteer for about 9 years since my brother Bill passed away. One of my clients, Suzanne Sarner, is the director of the school-based youth services program, or student center for short. They began the Game of Life 16 years ago to help our youth learn about available community services. Agencies from all over the county participate, and students are given these scenarios that they walk around and match the scenarios to the exhibitors and learn about the services that they offer. Services such as physical and mental health, domestic violence, substance abuse, housing support services, and grief and loss. I pause in gratitude for my growth from a year ago, when my blood pressure went from normal to stroke levels in a matter of a few weeks. The journey of diagnostics came with some frightening findings that gratefully were later ruled out, but I was in the thick of things at the event last year. Something drew me to speak with Annette and Carrie, who are staffing the Mental Health Association's table. I shared what was going on with my health and at home and asked if I were a candidate for their counseling services that help families and caregivers struggling with mental health challenges. And I have benefited from their help, and I am so, so grateful. I spoke about their respite event in episode 126, A Sunflower Maze Brings Happiness. I hope you'll tune into it if you haven't already. I'll put a link in the show notes. As it turns out, the litany of medical tests concluded that I was not handling stress very well, internalizing it rather than finding ways to cope. Understanding the circumstances at home was part of the journey, allowing me to cope better and to learn self-care techniques. I should preface all this by saying that many of the challenges we endure stem from our roots. Circumstances of today that we experience can trigger memories of the past, often subconsciously. The isolation I felt reminded me of the loneliness I felt as a child, as well as during my marriage, ruined by the neglect and isolation of addiction. It's been eye-opening to experience the dramatic effects of emotional health on my physical health. Gratefully, there are strategies to improve our emotional health, not only by talking to a professional. I can't say enough about how much walking in nature or tending to gardens helps. There's scientific evidence to prove it, as we talked about way back in episode 34, Forest Bathing, Willowwood Champion Trees. One of the last students that visited the Comfort Zone camp table was about 16. She shared that she lost her mom when she was 14. "I'd like to go to camp. I hope my dad will let me go this year." We invited her to fill out the application, and I hope she can come to camp. It's free for families, and the transformations are remarkable. I so love to participate as a volunteer. I hope I see you at camp, I told the young lady, and I hope I'm her big buddy, I didn't say. So how does this relate to nature in our gardens? I look forward to sharing the story that starts like this. Hello, fellow listeners and readers. Last week we spoke about early spring transplants, and the question of root pruning came up from Brian of Stone Church, Pennsylvania. Great question, Brian. Transplanting is always stressful for plants, especially for the feeder roots, which are the most responsible for bringing nutrients and water to the plant. But by pruning roots before a transplant, you'll markedly help reduce transplant shock, and you'll improve survival rates by encouraging the plant to produce new feeder roots within the future root ball to be moved. There are two ways to root prune. One technique is called spading, ideal for smaller trees and shrubs, and those not in the current location for more than a few years. Using a sharp spade, cut a circle around the plant as deep as the spade's width and just inside the intended root ball. You may recall from last week that the basic rule of thumb for the proper size of a root ball is 8 to 12 inches from the trunk for each inch of caliper of the tree. And the caliper is the width of the trunk at chest height. So a 2-inch caliper tree should have a 16 to 24-inch wide root ball. Root pruning should be done several months to a year before transplanting, and more than a year when moving a mature tree. Ideally, root prune in the fall for spring transplants. That way, the shrub or tree can put energy into new feeder roots over winter without the stress of supporting new plant growth. Root pruning in spring can work for plants being transplanted in the fall if you can keep the soil moist during the growing season. That is absolutely critical, by the way, and so I prefer to hold off until fall to root prune and move the plant the following fall to lessen the risk of plant stress. Call me cautious. The other way to root prune is the trenching method, done in the same timing protocol as spading. Professionals say digging a trench around a tree is better than the spade technique for mature trees, and spacing out the trenching over time is wise for older established trees, say halfway around, then dig further around later in the season. For larger trees, the trench should be 12 inches wide and 12 inches deep or more. As with spading, dig the trench just inside the intended new root ball. Fill the trench with two parts topsoil mixed with one part compost to provide a cushy environment for the new feeder roots. Keeping the soil moist is critical for success, and I can't stress that enough. So check the soil 2 to 3 inches below the surface to see if it's dry, and then water it deeply. Before you dig out the transplant, check for the thick web of fibrous feeder roots. If they are scarce, give the baby roots more time. Brian shared his technique of using thick cardboard or a tarp to move a transplant quickly to its already dug new location. That way you can forego a burlap wrap. No lingering with your roots exposed to the drying elements, though. Get her in the ground. Garden dilemmas? AskMaryStone.com. So thank you for allowing me to share my story. And as we enter the new beginnings of spring, I encourage you to review your roots and maybe prune some to make room for new feeder roots to absorb the nutrition and the awareness of the new growth that you are on the cusp of feeling and growing as we shed some of the old ways of thinking ingrained in our brains from our youth or perhaps more recently with the trauma. I believe we are all here for a journey of growth, and we can learn much from nature and our gardens, from their rhythms that parallel our lives, and the dilemmas and delights that lead to discoveries that come from all that we gain from the lessons in the garden of life. It's such a joy to share the journey with you. I can't thank you enough for the time you spend with me each week and for all of you that reach out to me via the social links or through the email address, askmarystone@gmail.com. Keep those comments coming and share your stories with me. It fills my heart. Have a great day. You can follow Garden Dilemmas on Facebook or online at gardendilemmas.com and on Instagram at #MaryElaineStone. Garden Dilemmas, Delights and Discoveries is produced by Alex Bartling. Thanks for coming by. I look forward to chatting again from my screen porch. And always remember to embrace the unexpected in this garden of life. Have a great day.